Support comes from Mosby Building Arts. This year, put your trust in Mosby Building Arts for fresh designs and the elevated remodeling experience you deserve. Inspiration at callmosby.com.
From St. Louis Public Radio. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. Missouri lawmakers returned to Jefferson City this week to kick off the 2026 legislative session.
The Senate will be in order. Will everyone in the Senate, in the galleries, please rise?
And to be honest, what transpired in the House and Senate on Wednesday was tame. Lawmakers did not take to the floor and engage in unforgettable oratory. Nobody made a surprise challenge to either chamber's leaders. Lawmakers gaveled into session, passed some boilerplate resolutions to ensure they could keep meeting, and adjourned. Still, I wouldn't say the day was devoid of thought-provoking sentiments, especially when Senate President Pro Tem Cindy O'Loughlin of Shelbina posed these questions to her colleagues about the months ahead.
We also need to think of the next generation. For children born this year and beyond, what will they inherit? Will they inherit a state government that supports their health and safety? Will it create hope and opportunity, no matter their status, their zip code, the school they attend, or whether their families can give them the love and support they need?
O'Loughlin is likely alluding to how lawmakers could take up significant policy proposals this session, like getting rid of the state's income tax or expanding Missouri's school voucher program. But whether either of these proposals come to fruition may very well hinge on whether O'Loughlin and other Republican senators can keep their chamber functional. That's because Senate Democrats, like State Senator Carla May of St. Louis, are still thinking about what happened over the 2025 legislative session.
There's still some accountability that has to take place for the desolation of the Senate that occurred, you know, before. And so those are the things that we have to address, and I think that we'll be able to address them and negotiate.
The Missouri Senate is unique because members can talk as long as they want on anything, as long as they can remain standing, or until a majority vote to cut off debate. Last year, Senate Republicans quashed Democratic filibusters to approve measures targeting voter-approved abortion rights and paid sick leave initiatives. They also forced votes on a new congressional map and a plan to make it much harder to pass constitutional amendments. Cutting off debate in the Missouri Senate is considered highly unusual. And as Senator Brian Williams of University City explained, using what's known as the previous question to end debate often provokes retaliation from his fellow Democrats. That could include forcing the chamber to take a long time to do routine things like approving the Senate Journal, are filibustering non-controversial bills. Those moves could have the effect of running out the clock on the session.
Democrats don't have short-term memory. We remember very clearly that the Senate broke down and we lost focus of what we should be focused on, and that's a functioning Senate. So I think there's a lot of important issues to Missourians that's been left on the table, and Democrats want to make sure that we prioritize that, but it needs to be done with dignity and respect by the Republican Party.
One of the big reasons why those foreboding statements from Williams and May could matter in 2026 is some of the policy proposals I mentioned earlier, like getting rid of the state income tax, are not universally popular among legislative Republicans. GOP State Representative Colin Wellenkamp of St. Charles County told me that he wants to make sure any income tax elimination plan doesn't make it impossible for the state government to do basic things.
I'm all for taking that burden off of the Missouri resident, but it really depends on the proposal to replace that revenue. I don't want to be without fire services, police. I don't want to be without roads, bridges, and functioning utilities. I don't want to be without good schools. So these are all things that we have to continue to pay for, and I think people want to continue to have those things. It just depends on how we replace these revenue streams and where are we transferring the financial burden.
Let's not forget that 2026 is an election year, where among the most high-profile campaigns include state Senate races where winning the August primary is tantamount to election. Democratic State Representative Carrie Engel, who is running for a highly competitive Jackson County-based Senate seat, says she expects political posturing to be at the forefront of the session instead of sober policy discussions.
I think that the Republicans are going to do anything and everything they can to distract from absolutely failing at economic relief for citizens, that to distract from everything that's happening in the national media and in Washington, D.C., to try to distract from all of the public polling that shows that they are upside down on every single issue of public importance. And they're going to try to drive us into the failed brownback experiment in Kansas, obviously.
Engel, by the way, was referring to how Kansas Republicans under Governor Sam Brownback cut taxes so much in the 2010s that the GOP-controlled legislature actually had to backtrack to prevent the state from going off a fiscal cliff. Republicans like State Representative Tricia Burns are not as doomerish about the upcoming session, even with procedural morass in the Senate and election year politics casting a long shadow.
When we have low expectations, we deliver on a low level. And we're here to do things for Missouri.
Republican Senator Jason Bean says that he attended a dinner earlier this month that included his Democratic colleagues. And at least for now, the two parties seem to be getting along okay.
You know what? Remember, I'm a farmer. So how many times do I go into a farming year where prices are down, weather looks bad, you've got a lot of stuff that looks to be against you? But you know what? As a farmer, I go into it with a positive attitude. And I think that's how that we're all going into this session. You know, there's a lot of things that we're talking about, whether it be what happened in last session, whether what happened in the budget. But I think we're all going into it with a positive outlook to say we're going to still do our job as senators and lawmakers and move the state forward.
Even with Democrats' ability to affect the trajectory of the Senate, they are still severely outnumbered in both chambers and only matter in the legislative process when the GOP majority is divided on an issue. House Minority Leader Ashley Awney of Kansas City says she hopes that changes this year when voters go to the polls.
As a minority party, we know our ideas for affordability will make little headway with a majority party hell-bent on comforting the comfortable and afflicting the afflicted, especially when they're trying to outcrazy each other with Republican primaries this year. But House Democrats will make the case for why a change in political direction is needed. After two decades of Republican legislative rule, working families can't endure much more.
And joining us from beautiful mid-Missouri to talk more about the beginning of the 2026 session is Sarah Kellogg, STLPR's State House and Politics reporter. Sarah, welcome back to the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air, and happy start of the 2026 Missouri General Assembly session.
Thanks for having me on the show, Jason. Excited for a new year.
Before we talk about the prospects for this session, what do you think about the possibility that House Minority Leader Awney alluded to in the clip you heard, that Democrats could end up breaking the GOP supermajority this year?
I do think that is possible. Democrats only need to flip 3 seats in the House and 2 seats in the Senate for that to break those supermajorities. And, you know, back in 2024, basically Democrats gained a seat and lost a seat, so it's pretty much the same, which in a year where really it felt like everything shifted right, that felt very notable. And so in a year that's probably likely bad for Republicans, I think Democrats have a pretty good shot at breaking the supermajorities.
So Sarah and I cannot predict the future. I wish we could, because we would be multi-billionaires by betting on sports like Back to the Future 2. But there could be some event that makes the legislature buckle down and work together, and our expectations about a non-productive session are proven wrong. But is it rational for people to be skeptical that anything other than the budget and some non-controversial bills will get done this year based off everything that happened in 2025?
I mean, that's a really good question. I think it remains to be seen. A lot of the priorities that Governor Kehoe wanted actually were accomplished last year, and we'll see what ends up happening with this potential income tax elimination. But I think that ultimately, yeah, I do think it'll be less productive, probably just because there aren't as many big ticket items that Republicans want to get done. And we'll see what Democrats, what their priorities are, that they can kind of align themselves with Republicans. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's a little less productive than last year.
And are there any issues that could produce bipartisan consensus?
I think that property taxes is one area for sure. I know that when Leader Ani was speaking to the media on Wednesday, she said when she was knocking on doors, you know, she didn't hear anything about income taxes, but she sure did hear things about actually property taxes. And Speaker Patterson created an interim committee to study that. And I think you can talk to Democrats and they can say there's definitely something that maybe needs to be done. Now, what that is, I don't know, but there is the possibility, I think, for bipartisanship there. And I think there's always a lot of cooperation ultimately when it comes to the budget.
When Governor Mike Kehoe does his State of the State speech next week, he's widely expected to talk about what you alluded to, his plan to phase out or eliminate the state's income tax. What are you hearing from legislators about that plan?
You know, I'm not hearing a lot because I think everyone's trying to keep it pretty mum. I know Majority Floor Leader Senator Tony Lichtenmeyer said pretty much as much yesterday during the Senate press conferences. So I think there's a lot of just like anticipation of what that's going to be. From what was alluded, it feels like it's going to be a gradual plan versus something that's outright. But there's also a lot of concern from Democrats that it's going to be a shift, really, instead of elimination, from shifting from income taxes to sales taxes, which obviously would affect everyone, and sales taxes would likely have to be increased. So I think there's a lot of opinions and thoughts going on right now, but we won't know for sure until Kehoe reveals that plan on Tuesday.
We may not be able to predict the future, but Sarah did read my mind because I spoke with State Representative Tricia Burns of St. Charles County, and she also does not expect Kehoe's plan to end the income tax right away.
The responsible approach would be to phase it out over time, and that's actually what is happening. So most people think we're just going to go and yank all the circuits out of the board, and that's not the case. I, too, want a functioning government. I want services like great schools and police. We still need to cut the bulk of the waste out.
That was Republican State Representative Tricia Burns of St. Charles County talking about her expectations about Kehoe's plan to axe Missouri's income tax. So I guess this was the question I was bringing to people like Representative Burns. My mom lives in Florida. There's no income tax there, and that's great. But as we were discussing interpersonally, Florida has Disney World, Texas has oil, Tennessee has Dolly Parton. How can Missouri get rid of the income tax without it not having any money left over to do anything that state government needs to do?
I mean, I think that's a question we need to be directing to those who want to eliminate the income tax or reduce it. I don't really know the answer to that. And I'm curious to see what the plan is, because if it is a shift to taxes on sales tax or even services, that's going to affect Missourians at a time where I think affordability is a really big issue and day-to-day, you know, prices and costs. And so I think, you know, that's a great question, Jason. I wish I had the answer for it.
This discussion about ending the state income tax comes as Missouri's budget situation is just not as good as it was when the federal government was shipping billions of dollars here in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic. How is that reality going to affect any plan to end the income tax?
I mean, I think there's going to be skepticism then if there are calls for a smaller budget because there isn't as much revenue. And I think the retort then is going to be, well, then why are we putting ourselves in a situation where that might be smaller if there isn't a, you know, a one-to-one replacement of that elimination? So I think there's going to be kind of, yeah, like a skepticism, I think, of people being like, well, then if we can't afford this, then why can we afford this? So I think it'll make some of those budget ideas a little harder to swallow. But I don't think there's a disagreement that it is a tighter budget, mainly because a lot of those federal dollars that were allocated have been spent or are allocated. But I think that the question is going to be like really, really small. I think there's going to be questions about that.
You mentioned property taxes earlier as something that you think could have bipartisan consensus. And at a Senate press conference yesterday, Senate Minority Leader Doug Beck of Afton talked about why St. Louis County lawmakers are going to be watching the debate over property taxes very carefully.
We probably pay more in property taxes than quite a few other places in the state do. State does, right? We have We have a system where agricultural land is valued at 30%, and they don't pay near the amount of property taxes that people in my district pay. People go to the polls, they vote for tax increases on their property taxes to support their schools, their fire departments, and things of that nature. If you ask people, do they want an ambulance to come at their house in 7 minutes instead of 2 minutes, those are all things you need to ask. Do we need to be making that decision here at the state level? I'm sure we're going to have that debate.
That was Senate Minority Leader Doug Beck, a Democrat from Afton. Sarah, property taxes are a subject that many people have very strong opinions about and they feel like they're paying too much of. But given the waterfall effect of making big changes to it could decimate local governments, is this just too complicated and thorny of an issue to actually for the legislature to actually accomplish anything with?
I think it might be too complicated to accomplish both an income tax reduction and a property tax reduction. I think it's going to be likely one or the other. That's something that's the sentiment is shared by Minority Leader Ani. I spoke to her about that. She's just not sure if there's kind of enough bandwidth to tackle both of these issues. But I will say, when speaking to the press yesterday, Senator Lukemeyer, the majority floor leader, mentioned property taxes first when it came to priorities. And he said that that was something that all of the caucus, the Republican caucus, cared about. So actually, I think if there were to be one, I think it may be a bigger likelihood that it would be property taxes. But I do think that both issues are very large and complicated and are going to take just a huge amount of effort to get finished.
We've talked a lot about taxes in this conversation, and I want to move on slightly to tax credits because State Treasurer Vivek Malik has said he wants to expand Missouri's school voucher program or scholarship tax credit program, and that received a $50 million infusion in state funds last year. He wants to increase that to $100 million for a program that funds scholarships that could be used to pay for private schools. What are the prospects for this idea, especially because this is not a program that is universally beloved among Republicans?
No, and also it's in court right now because there's concerns that that's not constitutional to use public dollars to ultimately fund private schools. I think that this is going to be a controversial ask. I think if Treasurer Malik asked for just another $50 million, I think that maybe would have gone over a little better, and that's probably the floor. That's what Senator Lukemeyer spoke to me about, that it's likely the floor of that would be $50 million, but $100 million I think is a little tougher to swallow just because it is going to be a smaller budget year, and I don't know if that's going to be something that's prioritized.
So if I had to ask myself about my expectations for the 2026 session, which would be strange because why would I ask myself what I think? I could just think it. I obviously am a very thoughtful person. I would probably say be on more on the doomerish side just because 2025, as you mentioned, was so productive that there just aren't as many things that absolutely need to be accomplished in 2026 from a policy level or even from like a political standpoint. The one example that comes to mind is I thought the measure to try and overturn the abortion initiative from 2024 was going to be put on the ballot this year, but it was put on last year. So how do you think that reality could affect how the session goes?
I mean, I've joked with our editor, Jason, that I just think I had a very boring opening session feature because I do think it's mainly going to be the budget and these tax issues. I do think a lot of what Kehoe wanted was accomplished. Something kind of to look out for. I don't expect huge fireworks, but I will say that the police board that the St. Louis Police Department is now under control, their appointments are actually going to be in the Senate this year, so that's something I'm keeping an eye on. But as far as other big issues, I think we're going to get into kind of weirder niche issues that maybe wouldn't have been done if some of these big ticket items hadn't been accomplished last year, or at least on their way to the voters, not necessarily passed.
But as State Representative Carrie Engle of Jackson County mentioned earlier, 2026 is a dreaded election year, or if you like elections, a blessed election year. And it's an unusual situation where the only statewide race on the ballot is auditor, meaning state Senate primaries will probably get a lot more attention and focus. How do you think that could affect how the session proceeds, especially in the House where some of the House members are running against each other?
I do think there'll be bills that are heard that maybe won't get farther than the House, and that's been to broad attention. But also, you know, you have to wonder the temperature of the election itself, where this is going to be an election year that, in, you know, historically would favor Democrats over Republicans. So then you have to wonder, well, are they going to bring attention to issues that maybe won't be as popular? What are they going to champion that would, you know, give them a leg up over maybe a fellow lawmaker? So I'm curious to see how this particular election year session handles out, because I do think it'll be a little different than it would have been in 24 or even 22.
Sarah Kellogg is St. Louis Public Radio State House and politics reporter. Sarah, thank you as always.
Thank you, Jason.
Sarah and I will be part of St. Louis Public Radio's coverage of Governor Mike Kehoe's State of the State speech. You can listen to the governor's address and analysis from STLPR's political team at 3 p.m. Tuesday on St. Louis Public Radio.
Today's episode was produced by Jason Rosenbaum.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.